Christ is risen. Amen. For you, those who are new, this is a part of the life of the church. We respond by saying, Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. We're glad that you're here with us on this high holy day. It is a high holy day that ends a holy week in which we've come together, which ends a holy season of the Lenten season, as we have recognized that our God is holy and set apart, that He is different. And He has done something so unique and special and so amazing that He calls us out into that holiness. And so we become those same kinds of holy people. We're casting off the old things and we are embracing the new. We're walking in a new way. And so this is a beautiful moment for us. This is our favorite time of the year. This resurrection of Jesus is a historical commencement. On Friday, we got together and we heard one of the sayings of Jesus was, "It is finished." But the finish that happened there was not a finish of all things that were to be done. Jesus had accomplished the work set before Him. He had accomplished the thing that would bring us salvation. But it is only a commencement. It is the next thing is yet to come. This resurrection is the fulfillment of promise and prophecy, a prophecy that has changed the world. And today we relive this whole experience. We cherish it, so we go over it every year. We review, and today we are going to be renewed by the story of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Christ is risen. We sing it, we say it, we celebrate it. Yet the meaning of it extends in every direction. Its reach grows in depth. We look deep into it to find the meaning. And today we will not grasp it all, but it is the medicine for our souls. It is a fragrant aroma. It is a relief. It is a relief. It is life itself. Christ is risen. But this isn't our first trip around the sun. Or this is not our first rodeo. It isn't our first Easter. By Monday morning, by tomorrow morning, many will live like nothing even happened. The same anxieties, the same sins, the same fears that were there on Friday perpetuate into Monday. So what exactly does a resurrection change? I want to tell you one thing it's not. It isn't just a securing of our future later on. It isn't just that. If it was just that, oh, that'd be all right. It isn't just fire insurance. So when these folks came today and they were baptized, it wasn't their ticket out of the burning flames and into paradise. It is that, but it is more than that. At Redeemer this week, if you missed, and not many people did, we had so many people here. If you missed, this was a grand week for us. Last Sunday we came together and we had the Palm Sunday, which is a remembrance of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And as He did, the people cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." And we all said those words out loud, because in Jesus we recognize that we need saving. We need help. And they called out to Him both for relief but also in celebration, because it appeared as if the Messiah was coming in. On Thursday night we gathered together and we remembered that Jesus, His life was for us, and that we were learning what it is to live out this kingdom kind of thing that He's calling us to do. So He leads us by example, and He washes the disciples' feet. He then says, "I give you a new command, that you love one another, that you love each other, that you love each other as you love yourself." He implements the Lord's Supper, and he says, I know that you have these other symbols of the Passover, but I want to tell you that the new symbol of being a my people is you have my blood and you have my body, and you recognize that they were broken for you and given for you for your salvation. So partake. On Friday, we had a dark evening as we remember the seven last sayings of Jesus on the cross. And this morning, we got up early and saw the sunrise and remembered the garden. We remembered Mary coming in, and we saw a fox and a, what else did we see? A possum, yeah. They came up, they said, what is going on here? And we were like, resurrection's happening. So all the creation wanted to come and see. But what does it do for Monday? First thing I want you to know is it really happened. Mary comes to the tomb early. And it was, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a morning like this one. Cool. Cloudy. And she comes to the tomb with an aching in her soul. Have you had one of those before? When you've lost the most dear thing to you. She's coming not expecting resurrection. But the stone is moved. The body's gone. Something is not right. Something's out of place. Her world, already shattered, now seems to be unstable. Then she turns and she sees a man. She doesn't even look closely at first. Why would she? She doesn't know him. In her mind, he must be a gardener, someone who belongs here, someone who might know something. Sir, if you've carried him away, and then the gardener speaks. Mary. And everything changes. Everything changes in a moment. Her heart races. Her face flushes. She looks again. But this time she really looks. This isn't the gardener. This is Jesus. Alive. She clings to him. Daring to believe, trying to make sense of the impossible, unexpected moment, overwhelmed by the joy of seeing the one she loves the most. And when the disciples hear, most don't believe, but Peter and John, they're going to find out. They don't walk, it's not a fact-finding, scientific progress that they are trying to make. They run, regardless of each other. John outruns Peter. Can you imagine? John then ducks his head in and goes inside, and what does he see? And then right after that, Peter barrels in as well, and they're looking around, and what do they see? They see these linen cloths. They are folded, they are ordered, they are undisturbed. The grave is clean. This isn't a grave robbery. This isn't a man who is barely dead, kind of dead, and who is now swooned and crawled out somehow of the tomb. This isn't confusion. This is evidence of what angels long to look into and see. This empty tomb is a resurrection. Jesus Christ physically, bodily, historically walked out of the grave. Not symbolically, not spiritually, not metaphorically. He got up and got out. And everything stands or falls on that. You know, if you go to a pond and you throw in a rock, there's a ripple, and it moves outward in every direction. The resurrection is like that. It's not just an isolated event. It means something. It speaks to everything, past, present, and future. Part of what it means, the resurrection, and it's so important for us to understand that's part of why Colton and Natalie, we sat down and we talked about baptism for a long time. Because they had an idea of what it was, just about this much. And I said, let's sit down and see what this is really about. This is a rich thing. This is far beyond what you can imagine. The resurrection means something. It means that Jesus, his claims that he is the Messiah are true, that he is the Son of God, that he's a forgiver of sins, that he's a giver of life. Many signs pointed to it, but the resurrection is the decisive one. It means that in the presence, Jesus is not a was, but he is. He is reigning now. He is alive now. Do you remember the other resurrection story we hear in the book of John? It's the resurrection of Lazarus. And Jesus goes to the tomb, and Lazarus' sisters are very upset, and they are upset at Jesus because Jesus didn't make a bad thing well. He didn't heal Lazarus, the one that he loved, and they were confused. And he is now in the tomb. He's in the tomb for a long time. In fact, at the end, they say, he stinketh. Be careful. Don't open the grave because he's in there. And he's in there for 4 days, and when he speaks, he says, don't worry, he's going to come back to life. And they're like, yes, we know there's a resurrection. It happens later on. And Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Do you hear that? I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Christianity is not built on a memory. It's built on a living person. Amen in the corner. Amen. Thank you. We'll take it. Let her cry. Amen. It's built on a living person, the one who is the resurrection, and he showed it by doing it. And he is the life. And those two things must be paired together. I want you to hear me. Those two things must be paired together. It isn't just a baptism that saves you from hell. It is not just faith that saves you from hell, but it is a new life that you are stepping into. For our folks who are getting baptized, this was a big deal. Your faith is a big deal. Things are changing, and things will keep changing. It ripples into the future. Death is not final. The grave is not the end. What happened to Jesus is a preview of what will happen to his own people. A new world has begun. The resurrection declares Jesus wins, sin loses, and a new world has begun. Amen. But what does it mean for Monday? The sun's going to come up again. Life is maybe not going to look that much different than it looks for you today. People are still going to have to go to work, raise kids, face problems. What's changed? What's changed? The New Testament does not show the resurrection as merely a future hope, but a present reality that reshapes what we live now. In the resurrection, we have victory. It is victory over sin, not just by our own hard work and willpower. It is a victory that comes from within, which comes from Christ. I was visiting with some folks this week that are new to the church, and I hear this same thing that they said. You know, I looked around in the church, and I just thought everybody had it together. Well, I can understand that. I understand it. We clean up really well on Sundays. But I've sat with many of you, and I know things in your life are not going well oftentimes. That's just the way it is across the board. So coming to faith and coming here and being faithful on Sundays and during the week doesn't mean that you are going to have less problems. But I can tell you about the people who are here who have been transformed by the gospel. They continue to be transformed by the gospel. And they are not the same people they were before. Like, there is power within. It isn't just them trying harder. There is something in them that is transforming them. They are different people. So they actually look pretty good. But don't be mistaken. We are still on a journey. We are still moving forward. But we aren't moving like we were before. We have the Spirit of God living with us. Amen. And there's some transforming stuff that's happening. The resurrection also means we are no longer defined by our past. And for you who are sitting there, you can take a deep breath and exhale. I am no longer defined by that. Praise the Lord. Oftentimes we think, I'm too bad to come. Like, he can't forgive that mess. And it's that kind of mess that he forgives all the time. And you think that mess is unique to you, you're a little proud, to be honest with you. We all have it, right? We all have it. When we were visiting with John this week, where's John? John Hardy. Asked John, I said, John, do you have sin? And John says, yes. I said, do your sisters have sin? Yes. I said, do I have sin? And that's a loaded question when you're talking to your pastor. And he goes, yes. I said, John, you know me better than I thought. But church, as the people of God, we are no longer defined by our past because we become new creatures. Those things, that ripple effect has even gone to our past and we have been forgiven. We have a new identity. The resurrection also means we are invited into a new way of being human, to be fleshly people like we are, skin and bones. We think about things differently. We act differently. We have the power of God for change in us. We have different directions. We become actually nicer to be around, to be honest. Finally, the resurrection means that we are able to suffer and endure, not minimizing the pain, but dignifying the perseverance. Your life has eternal weight. What you do matters now and for eternity. Obedience matters. Resurrection is not something we just celebrate here. It is something we step into. So what happens on Monday? We walk from this place of resurrection as we spend these next hours and days. What happens on Monday after the Sunday of resurrection? We now set our calendars for the week different. We cry tears and loss differently than we did before. We walk around our house with a head full of steam sometimes. Amen. Head full of steam sometimes, but somehow even that has changed. And this resurrection means something in all that. It means I can chill out a little bit. Like, everything's going to be all right. I can pray and say, Lord, give me strength, I am weak. And the victory in Jesus means not just for salvation for the future, but for right now. And he hears us, and he responds. It means that on Monday we set our alarms so we can wake up a little bit earlier because we found out, Hosanna, I have to be with Jesus today, otherwise I am a nutcase. And we cling to him, not so that we might be better, but because it is better to cling to him. It means on Monday, in light of the resurrection, how I talk to my son, how you talk to your daughter, how you talk to your wife and the people at work changes because you're thinking about them differently. You're thinking about them in light of the gospel. The resurrection changes those things. And instead of just saying, I'm going to yell at this kid because they're doing it one more time. That's how my mom used to talk to me when she was really angry. Her mouth didn't open. It just like this. I think that's where they get it for Charlie Brown. They get heard my mom. But instead of just yelling and trying to get your kid back in line, you think about them in light of the gospel. What is the bigger thing that God has for you? And we call them to that. How should you be spending your time? You should interact with your sister or your brother differently, to your mom differently. In light of the gospel, this changes things. So our still wet believers in the crowd, our damp believers, know that the resurrection, the gospel, changes everything. How you think, your words of frustration, how you create your budget, the gospel changes that. Because now we become a people called after him, and we're establishing this kingdom wherever we go for his glory and for the good of all kinds of people. And he's changing us from the inside. Today we relive the greatest event in history. It happened some 2,000 years ago. We celebrate that he is the good news for Mary and Peter and John, for Martha and Lazarus, for the 500 or so people that saw him alive after the resurrection, before he ascends. He is good news then, and he is good news today. He's good news for us right now. If the resurrection only matters on Sunday, well, somehow we've missed it. But it reaches to Monday, into your fears, into your sin, into your relationships, into your work, into your purpose, into your ordinary life. Everything has changed. He is not in the grave. He is alive. And because he lives, you are not as you were. You are not without hope. Your life is not without meaning. So let us live as recipients of the greatest gift, the gift of grace. And those who have been transformed by the power of the cross and resurrection, let us press into transformed lives as apprentices of the risen Savior. And so we rejoice together. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.